Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit. Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of our Aging Gayfully podcast. And Spencer, I'm a little nervous today because I'm a wannabe journalist and I'm speaking to a journalist that's been on 60 Minutes and a lot of great programs, but you're about to embark on a wonderful program at Uncloseted Media. So welcome to Aging Gayfully.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'm a little nervous right back at you because this is the first podcast or really any proper, you know, media I've done where I get to speak about Uncloseted Media and, you know, share the mission and the vision of it. So thank you for having me.
Well, I've been privileged to kind of get a little head start on the mission and your ideas here. And it's so important to kind of get the message out, not only to the LGBT community, but the broader community as well. Because we're all in this together. But before we get started, let our viewers and our listeners know a little bit about your background in journalism and your why for Uncloseted Media.
Yeah, I've always kind of been interested in TV and journalism since a really young age. And then I was an undergrad. I'm originally from Canada in Montreal, living with 10 girls in one house. So we called it 10 Girls, One Gay. And
well, there's a podcast there. There's a podcast there.
There's totally a podcast. There's a series. There's a reality show. There's all of it. But I was really good friends with all of them. And I was doing work at TV McGill. And a really good friend of mine, Sorel, came up to me and disclosed to me that she had been date raped in the back alley of a Montreal nightclub.
Oh, goodness.
And that she wanted to demystify the power of the perpetrator and speak about her experience on camera for TV McGill. And so I said, okay, I mean, I'm happy to do that. And, you know, did tons of research about the experience of rape survivors, really dug into her story. And I interviewed her on camera and, you know, we thought it'd get a couple hundred views on campus at McGill, but it wound up going viral in Canadian media. All the Canadian news channels picked it up. It was used, I believe, to teach consent in certain law schools in Canada. And that experience right there led me to realize the power journalism can have and the power investigative journalism can have when you, you know, tell a really good story or uncover voices that you typically don't hear from. So that's what motivated me to decide to apply to Columbia Journalism School and eventually pack up everything and move to New York one decade ago. And so there I studied, you know, and did their graduate program in journalism. And since then, I guess the rest is history. I've been in New York for about a decade now. I've been on staff at 60 Minutes Plus, at the Wall Street Journal, even at Nickelodeon News. And I've wound up finding a beat in the LGBTQ community. Being a Canadian, I recognize how much further back LGBTQ rights are here in the U.S. Right. compared to other developed countries. So I've always just felt that, you know, the mainstream media isn't doing a good enough job when it comes to LGBTQ storytelling right now. And unfortunately, also, the queer media doesn't necessarily have the bandwidth to do rigorous journalism. So after 10 years in mainstream media, that's why I'm launching Uncloseted Media, is to kind of fill that gap. And in addition to that, you know, 4 years ago, I developed a course at NYU about LGBTQ journalism, and I've been teaching that as well. So it's kind of become my thing.
It's become it's a part of your passion.
It's absolutely my passion because it's personal for me as well. You know, Uncloseted is a very intentional name.
Yes.
You know, whether or not you identify as LGBTQ or you're an ally, we've all had closets to go out of. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to be able to open that door, as cheesy as it may sound, right? But I do think that while it's an LGBTQ publication, these are universal stories. And these are stories that can, you know, resonate with all Americans, all people.
Yeah, I've been prone to say over the 15 years I've been involved in as a wannabe journalist and media person blogging about LGBT issues, caregiving. What I've found in my experience is that it's through story sharing where diversity meets the road to collaborate on a common cause. And I think when we have that opportunity to share our stories, we find out that we're really not that different from one another.
I completely agree. And I think that's the power of journalism that I think really separates it from, you know, academic research or different, you know, statistical analyses kind of thing. You can give all the macro information you want, you know, all the statistics. You can beat that over with a dead horse. But what resonates, I think, with humans and makes people, you know, pulls at their heartstrings and really identifies a problem isn't when you see, you know, statistics showing that gay men are 8 more times likely to suffer or struggle with eating disorders, right? Right. It's when you meet the John Smith who's telling you about his day-to-day, about how he's counting calories, portioning, throwing up, these sorts of things. When you get into really, really specific micro details about somebody who's representative of those macro stats, that's when you can actually create a story that's powerful enough to incite folks to want to take action, to do something and make change. In my opinion, that's the secret weapon of journalism, is that you can tell a story that's rooted in truth to the point where it incites and motivates folks to want to do something about the problem you're presenting.
Yeah, it often comes back to a kind of like a slippery slope, because we need the data to support the funding, but then we need the stories to support the data, which makes the funding real. And I think that is one of your secret sauces that you're trying to do with Uncloseted Media, is to combine, is to take the data that you see and blend it with the stories that are real in order to foster change within not only our community, but the broader community.
1,000%. You know, the data can't live without the humans behind it, right. But the humans can't live unless you're proving a point that exists in data, right? So, for example, you know, it's a sad truth. There are over 500 anti-LGBTQ bills sweeping through state legislatures right now in the United States, right? And most folks in the LGBTQ advocacy space, most Americans will say, oh, it's copycat legislation. We know that. Well, we actually don't know that yet. Right. It's likely, but we don't have the data yet to substantively prove that. So one of the things we're doing at Uncloseted Media is we're building essentially a bill's Bible, right? Where it's been an arduous task for one of the interns. He is building a database with every single bill and every single kind of court hearing transcribed, so we can actually dig in and do data and content analyses to see what exactly is copycat and what isn't.
And having that come through the lens of journalism lends credibility to it, because journalism is supposed to be unbiased and informative. And we've seen, I think, a path in journalism here recently that may not really be that. And you're trying to change that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I am trying to change that. I think we have a problem with how we define balance as it relates to journalism. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, it looks like some journalists at certain publications say balance is, you know, a Republican soundbite and a Democratic soundbite divided by two, right? And it's like, that is absolutely not journalistic balance, nor is it journalism, right? So if we're approaching a story about, say, trans people and gender-affirming healthcare, right? It's like, I do not care what any politicians have to say if we're actually going to have a nuanced conversation about this, right? It's what are the scientists? What are the people who are, you know, doing their 9 to 9 p.m. jobs, digging into this, trying to figure out the actual true story? The problem with a lot of LGBTQ stories is that they require a massive amount of nuance from really top tier experts, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, that's not what we're doing, especially in the mainstream media. We wind up booking people who will give a fiery soundbite, but might have zero background in the topic at hand. And that's a big problem.
That is a big problem, because those sound bites that stir the pot without any credentials.
And it goes viral. And in, you know, the world of the internet and social media, right, one salacious soundbite can get you millions of views like that, right? So it is really enticing for producers or journalists or writers to go after those soundbites, right?
Right.
But it's not in my opinion, ethical. It's not how we should be going about journalism. Journalism, from a balanced perspective, should be a survey of methodologically sound, evidence-based research and nothing else.
And I think that's to the point of why you're creating Uncloseted Media.
1,000%. I recognize, you know, over the last 10 years, a lot of mainstream publications will do one-offs as it relates to LGBTQ coverage that in certain cases are really strong, really great journalism. You know, I like to think I've contributed a few of those stories, right? But the fact is we're not covering it with the consistency and rigor that we need to. And we really don't have one publication that's dedicated to drilling in time after time. It's funny, we've started reporting about 20 stories now that are in development around that.
Right.
And every phone conversation or interview we have, it's like, whoa, there's three more stories to do there.
Exactly.
And it's exciting because it's like, wait, we can actually do all three of those stories now, right? It's not like some mainstream publications might say, oh, check, we did our LGBTQ story for the month, moving on, even though they have 10 other leads.
It's Pride Month. We'll throw one of these in now, but there's 11 other months in the year that have just as many stories that are just as important. So
100%. And I think, you know, that it's a testament to why we need more LGBTQ representation in newsrooms as well.
Right.
But, you know, since we don't have that at the moment and since nothing exists, I feel very strongly that Uncloseted Media is going to fill that gap.
Well, and that's kind of my thoughts about what you're doing as well. And I know you know a little bit about my background, and I'm sure most of my listeners from my Healing Times podcast and on the Whole Care Network remember that, you know, we were fortunate to have our caregiving story told in a 2015 Pulitzer Prize nominated caregiving story by the Sun Sentinel. And
Fantastic.
What that experience proved to me and why I know firsthand why what you're creating is so important is our story was, it's been seen by over 500,000 people. It's still available. But our story crossed all the orientation boundaries, all the gender boundaries, all the social economic boundaries, because it was a story, it is a story that touches everybody. The story just happened to be featured two gay guys who actually loved each other. And those are the type of stories that are out there that don't get told as much as they need to be told, because it humanizes our community.
1,000%. And that's, you know, I did a story a few months ago on religious trauma and how it impacts queer Americans and how millions of Americans still suffer from religious trauma, right?
Sure.
And, you know, there's tons of stats to show that. We kind of all get what that story is. When you hear the headline, you kind of know what it is. But what made that story kind of go mini viral was Jamie Long, you know, talking about growing up in the Black church in Alabama, you know, when she, you know, hadn't come out as trans, right? When she was presenting more as just an effeminate gay man, right? And a drive through rural Alabama where her, you know, brother berated her, calling her disgraceful anti-gay slurs, where her pastor rejected her, where her parents rejected her, and what it took to motivate her to pack up everything and move to New York.
Right.
Again, the stats are crucial and they're necessary, but it's the humans we need to find. And I think that's what's really hard is it's not always easy to find those humans, you know, like doing the legwork and finding those needle in a haystack is exhausting. It's arduous. It's very administrative work at sometimes,
very much so.
But it's everything to a good story.
Right. And there's also so many age boundaries as well, because we have so many different experiences based on our age. Like today's seniors, they grew out of a whole system that was different than what we see today. And you have to feel comfortable in the surroundings of sharing the story. And we think of all the gay folks that have lived in rural communities most of their lives and how different that is. And I think what you're going to create here is a safe space for everybody to be able to be seen and heard. And that is so important.
1,000%. I mean, and you know, this is a publication that's going to be meant for the LGBTQ community, right? But again, it's journalism. You know, if there's a story where we need to look at ourselves, you know, in the mirror and critique something we're doing, Uncloseted Media will do that. And at the same time, I think it's about time, given where we're at with acceptance, there's so much allyship at this point in the United States. And, you know, I think a quarter or a huge percentage of Gen Z adults identify as LGBTQ, right? So the thirst and the audience is there. We just need to find it. And beyond just LGBTQ people, a huge mandate for Uncloseted is getting outside the LGBTQ echo chamber.
Yeah. It's collaborating with the allies who can be such a big proponent of growth. And I think one of the other very special things that you're doing is this is being created under a nonprofit where you'll have a variety of impact from board members and people within the broader community to help get the message out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're working through a fiscal sponsor. So we're operating essentially off of a 501c3 model. Mm-hmm. So we are in a deep fundraising stage right now and are, you know, trying to get to this launch goal. So, you know, we're reaching out to foundations, high net worth individuals, anyone who can offer, you know, donations, small or large. We're always super grateful for that. So anyone listening to that, please reach out to me if you're interested in contributing, because we're definitely in that deep fundraising stage right now and trying to press pause so we can focus on story and editorial development. But no, you know, having a diversity of views, having intersectional stories, making sure we're including stories about the entire, you know, LGBTQ alphabet is crucial, right? Right. And then also stories about allies, you know, allies and people who aren't LGBTQ are deeply impacted by what happens to LGBTQ communities, exactly. You know? These are legal stories, healthcare stories, political stories, family stories, religious stories, and so on and so on. And you know, to care about what's happening in our world is to care about what's happening to the LGBTQ community. It's one in the same. LGBTQ is no longer a niche topic. It's integral to our daily lives because we're interacting with folks at the very least every single day. And if not, we're actually a part of the community ourselves. Yeah. So, you know, we're in 2024, it's a different landscape. It is no longer niche, but it is just as critical to cover it with rigor and deep analysis.
And I will say, as a 67-year-old gay man with Canadian roots, I must say, I have to throw that in. That was new information I got from you earlier. Is that
where are you from?
My father's side. My father's from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island.
Whoa! Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
I'm very proud of my Canadian roots, eh? Yeah. So
hey, I know he's gonna slip in an A or in a boot.
Well, and then you know, of course, we've got the spelling of our last names with the MAC. I don't see that too often. And when I see that, I said, oh, there's probably a Canadian connection in you.
Yeah. Well, MAC is Scottish, I learned, and MC is Irish. Yeah. I'm very Scottish.
You're very Scottish. So see, it's another reason why we connect. But from this perspective of a 67-year-old out gay man, I look back at when I was your age, wondering where would I get information about myself, where I could like-minded people. How do I find? You know, there just was nothing out there. You know, there was very little support from the three pillars. You know, your family, your church, and your community. Those are the three pillars that people always look for support. And anything that was written about the LGBT community was usually negative. And that's why I see such a bright future, even though in all the political BS that's going on today, I see folks like you who are stepping up, sharing experiences that's going to make life better for everybody in our community.
1,000%. I mean, I think it's funny because I feel like public sentiment in many ways is growing, especially with the younger generations, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have to be very vigilant that there isn't a U-turn, right? You know, the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI issued terror threats for Pride events this year. Mm-hmm. We're under a state of emergency, according to the Human Rights Campaign. You know, the stat that keeps me up at night, especially after working at Nickelodeon, the stat that keeps me up is that 41% of LGBTQ kids in this country seriously committed suicide in the last year. Yeah. That's according to the most recent data, right? That's egregious. And we need to do something about that. And in my opinion, telling stories, informing the American public about what's happening, especially as it relates to America's anti-LGBTQ ecosystem, is integral. Because until people are educated as to what's actually going on, they're not going to feel the need to try and make change. But if you say 41% of LGBTQ kids seriously considered suicide to any American with even a heart that's beating, they're going to care. They're going to want to step up.
Right. And again, that comes back to what we talked about earlier, taking the data and associating it with a real life story that impacts change. So goodness, I'm so excited just to be involved in any way that you could see that I can be for that.
Oh, well, no, I'm so glad we've connected. I mean, I love what you're doing as well. And, you know, I do think one thing that you've kind of taught me and made me remember and put in my cassette as we continue with story development is to not forget about the senior populations, that those are that's a huge population of LGBTQ folks. And we need to be doing stories on this community as well.
That's a whole other issue within the LGBT community, where LGBT ageism. But that we'll save that for another conversation. So how can people get involved? Give us a little time frame of launch. I know you've done some work already, but let's put it all out on the line.
Well, we are thrilled. We will be launching the week of Labor Day. So Uncloseted Media is going to launch the week of Labor Day, and we're likely going to launch with about 8 stories at least. We have 20 stories in development. A lot of those stories right now have an election bent because, of course, we'll be launching about 2 months before the very important November election. We want to give folks everything they need to know. We want to inform voters who care about the LGBTQ community, so when they hit the ballot box in November, they at least have the facts about each candidate's history as it relates to the LGBTQ community. We are, as I said, in a deep, deep fundraising stage, so any and all donations we'd be super grateful for. You can reach out to me on my LinkedIn or any of my various social media channels if you want more information on how to give a 100% tax-deductible donation.
And we'll have all of Spencer's information in our show notes and our video blog, just any way that we can get the word out for you. And Spencer, it is just a delight to visit with you today, but even better to be able to follow your dream and the change that you're going to have in people's lives with Uncloseted Media. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. Really grateful for your time.